and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call of Ethos Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinion, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pranav Sabu, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on the Ethos Limited Quarter 4 and FY24 Earnings Conference Call. I hope everyone had a chance to view our financial results and investor presentation recently posted on the company's website and stock exchanges. I am accompanied by our new CFO, Mr. Munish Gupta. He is a CA and Executive MBA from IIM Ahmedabad with 20 years of expertise in construction, hotels, IT travel, startups, and FMCG. He spent most of his career with Interglobe Group, establishing operations, implementing finance processes, and making them stable and scalable. He excels in business strategy, operational challenges, performance bottlenecks, and profitability goals. In addition, we have appointed a new Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Mukul Khanna, a 25-year business leader in consumer durables, telecom, and e-commerce. He excels in P&L management, business strategy, brand and revenue marketing, product management, sales and partnerships. He holds an MBA in marketing from NMIMS Mumbai and an MSc in chemistry from Punjab University, Chandigarh. He is also on this call with us. Additionally, we also have our executive director, Manoj Subramaniam, on the call. On the call, we also have SGA, our investor relationship advisor. Let me give you now an overview of our Quarter 4 and FY24 performance. For Quarter 4 FY24 versus Quarter 4 FY23, revenue from operations is up by 21.7% to Rs. 252.5 crores. EBITDA for the quarter grew by 45.1% YOY to Rs. 44.4 crores. EBITDA margin stood at 17%. PAT, profit after tax, grew by 57.9% to 21 crores. Revenue from operations is up by 26.7% to Rs. 999 crores from Rs. 788 crores in FY23. Revenue growth is attributable to a surge in the high-end watch segment, enhanced sales of the pre-owned watch segment, and revenue commencement in the other luxury segment. Other income includes fair value gain of Rs. 2.5 crores. EBITDA grew by 36% to Rs. 175.3 crores. EBITDA margin stood at 17.1%. PAT grew by 38.1% to 83.3 crores. PAT margin for FY24 stood at 8.1%. Inventory days as on 31st March stood at 161 days. Cash and bank balance stood at 345.5 crores as on 31st March 2024. Billing from pre-owned CPO was 66 crores in FY24. Let me now give you some updates on the industry. Relationships between India and Switzerland have greatly strengthened recently with the signing of the EFTA agreement. India and the EFTA, a four-nation European organization, including Switzerland, inked a landmark trade and economic partnership agreement to increase trade and investment between the two regions. India will gradually phase out custom tariffs under its trade agreement with the EFTA bloc in this context. Custom duty on Swiss watches is currently at 20% and 2% cess on that. Under the EFTA agreement, duty on Swiss watches will be reduced to zero in a seven-year period. This change is likely to start in the second half of this financial year with a 3% decrease in duty every year. This will improve Ethos gross margins. More importantly, it will open doors for many more luxury brands to come in, for whom these rates were a deterrent to the profitability and therefore an Indian presence. We also expect availability and supply to India to increase. So we will witness a margin uptick and the advent of many large brands entering India and improved supply from existing brands as well. Let me now give you our focus in the upcoming years to come. Number one, increase in physical footprint. We started FY24 with 54 stores in 20 cities and we currently have 63 stores in 24 cities. We added new cities such as Surat, Bhubaneswar, Raipur, Mohali and Breitling Boutiques at Pune. During this time, we also closed down 2 stores due to relocation. Further, we will soon be opening a new city, Kochi, in June 2024. In FY24, we spent rupees 38.3 crores on the fit-out of new stores and restoration of existing ones. In FY25, we intend to add approximately 20 boutiques in the coming year. We intend to keep growing our physical network in the years to come. Secondly, improve our digital network. With the launch of the app and an upcoming overhaul of the website, we will focus on better user interaction, UI/UX, digital journey personalization, and better service provided by our concierge through the help of technology. We will invest greatly in measuring each of these and move forward with maintaining the digital edge for providing the ultimate place for watch enthusiasts to research about their watches and use data to provide relevant and unparalleled customer service. Thirdly, deploying AI. We have shortlisted 4 use cases of AI in the first year of deployment of AI, for which we now have a dedicated team, which go beyond simply chatbots and other basic AI tools. These projects require the training of LLMs and foundation models, which have started now. These models will be proprietary to us and will be deployed through our sales network and digital platforms in the next year to achieve, again, incredible customer service through unparalleled presentations for customers, website research journey, visual searches, and much more. Fourthly, increasing strategic moat with exclusive brands. Exclusive brands provide a great moat and allow many advantages, including store rollout, higher margin, and greater growth. Exclusive brands continue to do well, and we anticipate this trend will continue in the future. In FY24, exclusive brands accounted for nearly 29% of our total sales from our portfolio of 51 brands. Exclusive brands help generate higher revenue, and this is also a high return on capital employed business. We see tremendous opportunities as we continue to expand our broader digital network. We are constantly in talks and at advanced stages with several brands about adding them to our portfolio. Large focus on setting the foundation for HR and greater professionalization. The need for the hour to achieve the 10-year goal of 10x revenue is to get great talent at every level. We will make investments into our training school for talent on the shop floor, as well as investments into engagement of the HR to lower attrition. We will continue to invest into our design and tech teams as well to enable the strengthening of the foundation for our long-term goals. Sixthly, brand enhancement and refresh. This year, we want to enhance the brand value of Ethos through a brand refresh and alignment to ensure it reflects the premiumization that we want to achieve. We will work with the best creative agencies in the country or the world to ensure all our brand touch points, from shopping bags to logos to smells in the store, represent our ambition of the ultimate luxury and credible luxury destination. We want customers to choose Ethos before they choose the brand. And this will be a powerful shift once it is achieved and will allow us to achieve our lofty ambitions. Lastly, lifestyle, pre-owned vertical and service department. With regard to the performance of the Rimowa division, our first store in Mumbai is doing quite well. As we said recently in our most recent results call, it has been profitable on a PAT basis since month one. We see a lot of opportunities in this business. The lifestyle business headed by Manoj Subramaniam will sign up 2 more Rimowa boutiques that should be operational in the second half of the year or early next year. We will open our first boutique this year for luxury clocks at UB City in Bangalore with a brand known as Clock 2. We are now actively looking for our first flagship boutique for Messika in the country. We are discussing signing on more brands for this vertical. We have interest from very large brands that do over $700 million worldwide to enter India with us. Slowly and steadily, we will expand this vertical. Due to competitive reasons, I cannot yet announce these names, but they are extremely iconic brands that want to enter the Indian market with us as the retail partner. The lifestyle division will be a priority area for us. I am happy to share that the success of the state-of-the-art service center in Delhi was extremely heartening. We now plan to open a second service center in Bangalore, which will be operational in the second quarter of this year, allowing us to expand our geographic footprint for service. We see tremendous opportunity in the service center business. We shall grow steadily. However, we shall grow on this. Pre-owned vertical. We remain committed to growing this business and will continue to invest in it. We are working on removing the bottlenecks of service with manpower addition and training schools, as well as regulatory hurdles, which we are confident we can achieve. I hope this gives a sense of what we are going to be working on in the coming year. These earnings call now represent 2 years of earning calls since we listed. We have given short-term guidance till now to guide investors and increase stability. We will now focus on long-term strategies and long-term visions instead of just focusing on giving short-term guidance. For the upcoming year, we feel confident, and once the election phase is over, I'm sure there will be great success, and we want to set this up as a foundation year for the next decade. Thank you, everyone. I hope we have answered. Thank you, everyone. And now, with this, I open up the floor to question and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investment. Please go ahead.
Sabuji, really thank you very much for good result. Sir, we are well in top line 1,000 crore. First of all, congratulations to you and your team. Our net profit margin is around 8.33%. So any increased possibility in future? If yes, how much? This is my first question.
You have any other questions? Just list down all your questions.
Yeah. Second, as you mentioned, in 10 years, we will be 10 times. So what strategy and how much store we need and how much more QIB you need? Because QIB is always expensive. So want to know all such things.
Thank you. Let me answer your first question in terms of profitability. In terms of profitability, I don't want to give a number in terms of what we can achieve and what we can't achieve. But our focus is to continue to grow our margins through operational leverage, through a brand mix change focusing on more exclusive brands where discounts can be reduced and the gross margin is much more. So yes, we do believe that in the future, profit margins can increase. Next question is regarding our 10-year vision in terms of how many boutiques we need. We will continue to grow the number of boutiques as and when the opportunity rises. All I can say at this point of time is that in the next year, we have 25 boutiques coming up. We have a clear runway up to 150 boutiques. Once we achieve that, we will once again relook at whether we require more capital or we don't require more capital. However, whatever we do, we want to be very cognizant of the fact that we take return on invested capital extremely seriously as well as return on capital employed extremely seriously, and we will look towards that. We have seen a return on investment ROIC on our mature stores already increasing, and almost all stores that have been opened are profitable and giving incremental return on invested capital. which is how we want to focus going forward.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Khush Goswami from Incred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, and I am new to your company. So, A, I wanted to understand how does the pricing work with your exclusive brands, and B, if you could give some unit economics for your new stores, when do they break even, what is the payback period, etc. That would be helpful. These are the first questions.
Sorry, what was the first question? The exclusive brand, how does
the pricing work? How do you, the pricing works with these exclusive brands that we have tied up, 51 brands?
Right, the pricing is in our hands for, the pricing is largely in our hands. Of course, we need a mutual agreement, but the most brands, all exclusive brands allow us to, set the pricing in India as per what we seem fit.
Okay, sure. And second question is on the unit economics of these exclusive stores. If you could highlight what would be the capex per store, the payback period, and the IRRs.
I didn't understand. What is an exclusive store?
Overall boutiques, sir. The boutiques that you're opening.
Yes. So, in terms of new boutique, it varies from boutique to boutique. Like last year, we opened Remova, and it's profitable from the first year. In fact, the store was opened in October, and it's profitable. For other boutique, it varies, but all our boutiques are profitable. Most of the boutiques are profitable from first year.
Yeah, we have the way we look at it is that we try to touch 18 to 20% return on capital in the first year itself. That's how we target it.
Got it, sir. Got it. And last question, sir. How are your stores in non-metro cities performing over the last year?
We're very happy with their performance.
Sure. Okay, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agrawal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So, firstly, a few months back, we have diluted our stake in Silver City Brands in favor of our holding company, KTDL. And I believe Silver City is what owns the rights to Fairway Luba. So, I wanted to understand why this transaction is happening.
Right. Any other question?
Yeah. Secondly, so if I look at our gross margins, so starting at 2024, the Forex FX has corrected substantially. Plus, typically, we get price corrections from brand in the first year, from the start of the year. So, why have we not seen any improvement in gross margins in the quarter? And how should we look at it going forward? And lastly, on this import duty reduction, so you said that we expect 3% reduction in, from H2 and that will add to our gross margins. So I think last quarter there was this discussion with Mr. Sabu that he said in case exclusive brands, we will keep the entire differential in case of reduction in FX, customs, and in case of non-exclusive brand, it would be shared. So based on that, if you can guide to an extent, like out of the 22% that the duty is going to reduce, how much resource will be able to capture out of those three questions.
Okay, clear. Let's start with Fairway Luba. You see that currently, as I mentioned, 50 exclusive brands are required give us 30% of our business. I want to first start by saying what is Ethos. Ethos will focus upon India. Ethos's core competency is retail in India, right? Our long-term goal is to reach 50% of our brands coming where we have exclusivity and through strategic tie-ups, right? So now if we are at 50 brands or 45 to 50 exclusive brands get us 30%, and we need to add another 20%, right? We can either do it by adding another 25-30 brands, or we can say let's take one brand and where we have a great say in the brand, where we have great influence in the brand, where they can design products specifically for us, do an extremely long-term contract, as well as invest significantly in the beginning without the fear of changes in contract, etc., then we can hit critical mass with one, and we can do, instead of investing into 45 or into another 25 brands, we can do it by taking one brand to hit critical mass and achieve the next 20% with one brand. That has been the plan on why we said that, look, we need one brand where we invest and control a stake, or a significant stake, not a majority stake necessarily. The rest of the money is going to come in from KDDL, because KDDL is going to continue to do the manufacturing for the brand. The manufacturing know-how is over there. The retail part will come from us. This, the 30-odd percent that we have now in Power Luba will allow us to control the brand or influence the brand in terms of product, in terms of how they will be in India, their presence in India, etc., and grow the brand to become one of the greatest brands in India and make sure that we reach our goal of getting 50% of our business coming in through exclusive brands. That's the reason why the next phase of investment came in from KDDL, where they will do the manufacturing. Next comes to import.
Just a clarification over here. But, yeah, you know, we could have either ways transferred the manufacturing in terms of partnership with KDDL. I mean, transferring the ownership that to a promoter group entity, don't you think it...
KDDL shareholders weren't interested in that manner.
No, but KDDL is a related party, right? So now if they own the brand,
They own a certain percentage of the brand.
Yeah, but they own 65% right now, which is more than what Ethos will own.
Okay, so?
No, so it doesn't it create a conflict in the sense that, you know, the deal was brought to Ethos, right, as a company. Ethos initiated the deal, they bought it, and then...
Look, I don't believe that there is a conflict of interest. I think the board, both the boards have done, have deliberated over this. The manufacturing will be the greatest investment that is going to be made. We wanted a manufacturing tie-up that is permanent in nature. The manufacturing of the factory, etc., setting up of the factory cannot be done by Ethos. We cannot outsource it. KDDL was not interested unless they own the brand as well, which is why it came in from there. Ethos will focus upon its core competency of retail in India. That's all I have to say at this matter. Let's move on from this. If you have more points, we can connect on it. Or if you have other suggestions, please let us know offline. My next point to your thing was import duty margins. If we go towards 50% of the 50% of our business, today it is 30%, where we will capture the entire amount. If we go towards 50%, we will capture 22% of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the improvement of gross margins in Q4, like since the FX is reduced.
Sorry, what is that?
Why have we not seen improvement in gross margin in the current quarter, given that the FX rate has corrected substantially in 2024 and we typically get price corrections based on FX rate in the start of the year?
So in terms of Forex, like we mentioned in the last call also, the CHF to INR at the start of the year was 92. In December 23, it was 99, which was not seen historically. And again, now it's 92 rupees. In terms of overall Forex gain in Q4, we are positive by 1.3 crore. And for the full year, now the overall Forex is, there is a loss of 1 crore. As mentioned in the earlier call also, that price increase was due from January onwards, and some of the brands have already increased the prices. From that point of view, it's fine. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Smitesh Sheth from Vedant Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sir, out of the 25 boutiques which are lined up for the next year to be opened in, I mean, in FY25, could you throw some light about in first half how many of them are opening and couple of them where we have signed it and some dates on the opening schedule?
Right. So as I mentioned, Kochi, which is our 5,000 square feet boutique, will open around the 1st of July. We already have another store in Pune that has already opened. We have six boutiques which are lined up for opening in Mall of Asia Phoenix. Mall of Asia Bangalore. That's the landmark boutique mall coming up from the Phoenix Group. That will open when that mall is ready to open. So it looks like it is going to be the second half of the financial year. We have six boutiques over there because that is a landmark luxury mall that is coming up in...
Has that been delayed, sir? This Mall of Asia, Bangalore, has that been delayed?
Not by us, but by the
mall operators themselves.
The luxury floor is not yet open. So the first floor is open, the second floor is open, but the first floor is delayed, which is why we want to open when it is fully thriving. So that's why there is a bit of a delay over there. So wherever there is a delay, it is usually a delay when the location hasn't been handed over to us. As another example, we should be starting in the next 60 days the Bangalore duty-free airport that had a lot of compliance issues in terms of security passes, etc., which needed to be arranged, and things kept changing, requirements kept changing over there, and that got us a little bit delayed. So the delays that we are facing is not so much because of internal management reasons, but external reasons where the locations aren't being handed over to us in time.
Fine, sir. Thank you.
We have also Dehradun launching in another 45 days. Kochi, I already mentioned to you. Our service center should be quarter two. Mangalore will open also before the second half. Our flagship boutiques, which is the City of Time, we are hoping to open around Diwali.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Congratulations, Pranav, for a strong FY24 and all the best for capitalizing on the big tailwind from EFTA agreement.
I have
four questions. What is the CHF rate at which the brands have revised their MRPs for CY24, number one? Number two is inventory has increased by about 100 crore for the 10 stores that were opened during the year. This implies slightly higher inventory per store than the guided range. So your thoughts on that. The other two are bookkeeping questions. The employee expenses have increased this quarter. Is this in anticipation of the new stores that are expected to come up in the coming quarters? And last one is, what is the SSG for the quarter?
Let's start with the last one. SSG is 10% for the quarter. What were the other questions? Sorry, I've...
Employee cost, because of new stores.
Then employee cost. Let's talk about the employee cost. Employee costs are rising because of we are preparing for... number one, we are hiring ahead of time. Number two is the fact that we are setting up, even at the top management, first of all, more verticals, which require upfront senior leadership to be hired, for example, for the lifestyle division. For example, now in tech, we have greater hiring that is taking place to incorporate AI and for the app teams to come in. The results of this will be seen in the future, right? Because the app will not provide us revenue this year, but in the next year, it will be a game changer in my opinion. So for these three reasons, new verticals, greater hiring at the tech and design level, as well as advanced hiring for store rollouts, because we've never rolled out as many stores in a single year that we did last year or in this year that is coming up. This is the reason why that is going up. Number two was your question on greater inventory. Again, we are signing on brands ahead of, we are signing on new brands as well, which are adding on the inventory right now. And that is going to be, it will normalize. It will normalize in the years, in the months to come. Because we have bought the stock, but some of the stores are delayed. That's one of the reasons that, for example, our largest project, City of Time, It's taking a little bit more time, but we still signed on some more exclusive brands that will be inaugurated over here. That's the reason you see this, but you will see a normalization of this taking place. Your first question, I don't remember now.
CHF to INR in Q1.
CHF to INR, yes. Different brands have done it very differently, but averagely, price increase that was taken in the first quarter was roughly about 7 to 8%. Most brands are priced around the 92 rupee mark. 92, yes.
So broadly at current levels, right? So
yes.
Pranav, just a follow-up on this, I guess December rates were like 9,900, right? So any reason why the conversion rate was chosen to be lower?
9,900 was only, so because first of all, again, you know, it's about 93 that it is, 92 to 93. Our exclusive brands are at about 100. The reason is that everybody took a percentage increase. And 98.99 was literally the last 15 days or the last 30 days of the month. So it was a more longer outlook to first get them to 92.93, the non-exclusive brands. Exclusive brands is a little bit easier because we can move it up and down as we see it.
Got it. I just have one follow-up. You indicated that SSD is 10% for the quarter. I noticed that your ASPs have actually, not ASPs, but average realizations have gone up by about 20-odd%. So any reason for this moderation in volume growth? Is it expected to pick up in coming quarters? Your thoughts on that, please. That is my last question. Thank you so much.
Let me just talk about overall the numbers. You see, the numbers actually vary largely when you look at if you remove the segment below 1 lakh, which we are exiting out of. I just want to talk about overall the segment above 1 lakh rupees. FY23, we sold 18,471 watches above 1 lakh rupees. In FY24, we sold 22,000 watches, which was an increase of 19%. So we are looking at volume increase. One should look at the volume increase above the 1 lakh rupee mark and not overall as a number, because as I've mentioned in my previous calls, we are exiting the fashion category the non-Swiss category from Ethos boutiques across India.
This is very encouraging, Pranav. Just one feedback. If you could include this data in your PPT, then it would be very helpful for us to analyze that. Thank you so much.
Sure, yes. I have this data ready because actually I know that this question would come. That's why I have this ready. We'll try and incorporate it in the PPT.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavya Sonawala from Samasa Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Actually, my main question has been answered in terms of the previous participant. Just two clarifications. You spoke about in the initial remark, I'm not sure if you spoke about saying that you're going to introduce two new stores of Rimowa, or was that with relation to the Clock 2 in Yuba City and other Messica store? And my second question, second clarification was in terms of will the Bangalore airport have the first, is this our first airport store?
No, our first airport store is in Delhi. And secondly, yes, that is correct. Two more Rimowa stores have been signed up in Emporio Mall in Delhi and Mall of Asia in Bangalore. It takes 9 months of fit-out to be able to achieve, or 6 months of fit-out, 6 to 7 months of fit-out period. But that is once they hand over the store. So the other two locations have been identified, they have been signed, mall has agreed, brand has agreed. We just need the handover now from the mall because they are running stores. So the existing tenant has to, in Emporio, existing tenant has to move out, and in Bangalore, the mall has to be fully operational before we open. But it just shows that we are on an aggressive path to finding the best locations for Rimowa rollouts.
It will be operational in the last quarter for next year.
Yes, understood. Just to follow up, so just to understand, what are our thought process in terms of airport stores? You know, will we see a few more coming going ahead? And what kind of targets are we looking at for airport stores? Because I can see it's Delhi and Bangalore. So what else are we looking at more airport stores?
Overall, I'm bullish on travel retail, and we are looking at opportunities in travel retail. We have operated the Delhi airport for a long time. Now we are entering the Bangalore airport as well. And we will continue to operate in travel retail. And return on capital is quite similar for us as it is in the company. In fact, perhaps even a little bit greater. But again, I don't want to go into store-specific numbers, etc. I think that all I can say is that the company remains bullish on travel retail.
Okay, understood. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Omkar Gugal Dare from Shree Investments. Please go ahead.
My first question is on the, in the PPT you have mentioned that in Q4 24, the online visitors have dropped past 50%, and there has been a drop for FY23 from FY23 to FY24 as well. Can you just explain the reason and significance?
Yes. I think the number one reason is that, you see, we've removed all the lower price point watches like Casio, Fossil, Michael Kors, etc. They're no longer on the website. So that removed a large chunk of the traffic because we don't want to focus on that. We really want our focus to be on the higher price point and on the core strength of Ethos. The other smaller price points we will achieve through distribution on online platforms and other retailers. But on the Ethos website, we want to remove that and focus on greater conversion. I'm happy to report that our business that is generated from it is rising. Despite the drop in traffic, which is a strategic call, our business from the website has increased. Our profitability of that business also has increased.
So, the watches which you
have... Sorry to interrupt you, sir. There is an echo from your end. Can you please check?
Yeah. Is it audible now properly?
Yes. Now it's good, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I was asking, so they are available on the other formats, right? The stores which you have. Right.
Sorry, I'm unable to hear. Am I the only one who can't hear? I can't hear. Can you guys hear? SGF?
Sir, can you please repeat your question?
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't we come back in the queue? Because
Is it audible now, sir?
Yes, it's audible. Go on.
Yeah, I was asking... these watches are available on other platforms, right?
Yes, for us as well, we are signing on new brands that will be exclusively with us, but we will distribute them through online platforms and other retailers, which is the reason to set up RF Enterprises rather than do it inside Ethos stores, where we want to focus on prices above 1 lakh rupees. So because it gives us better return on capital employed, and we want to make Ethos a premium journey, Swiss watches, luxury watches, not fashion watches which are made in China. I don't have anything against it. It's not a judgment call, but it's just not the same category, and the category behaves separately. That's why.
Okay, the second and third question is regarding the 150 stores which you want to achieve. So, like, how many years you are targeting those stores? And third question is, when you open a new store in a particular, in a new city, like a couple of factors which goes into opening the new store. What is the thinking behind that? If you can briefly tell about that.
Well, we want to achieve 150 stores over the next 5-6 years. But what goes into when we look at a store, when we are looking at a store, is that number one is we like to see the amount of unaided traffic or unadvertised traffic that comes from the website to our city. Other markers of HNI behavior, for example, number of five-star hotels, the number of luxury car agencies in the cities, and data from our partners on what is their estimate of the business from the city. On the basis of that, we decide which format and where to go in the city.
In the last question, you have mentioned that you are targeting 10x revenue in 10 years, so roughly. I'm not telling you to give particular number, but that would be like 10,000 crores. So in terms of EBITDA margin, when can we achieve or gather significant operating leverage, and what can be the margins going forward? Not yearly basis, maybe directionally you can.
Directionally upward, but that's all I want to say at this point of time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your question to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Prerana Amana from PNA Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yes, ma'am, yeah. You're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats, sir, first of all, on good set of numbers. I have two main questions. You guided for 20 store opening this year. So are this all 20 stores going to be Ethos, or is it going to be a mix of Ethos, Rimowa, and Messika? That's my question number one. Question number two is, you mentioned something along the lines of that, you know, that H2 could be better, and you were highlighting something on elections. So do you see any headwinds in terms of demand because of this entire election scenario we are having? So those are my first two questions.
Thank you. Very good questions. Yes, first of all, it is a mix of, the 20 stores are a mix of what we call mono-brand boutiques and multi-brand boutiques. Of course, the multi-brand boutiques will carry the Ethos name. Mono-brand boutiques will carry the names of the different brands, whether it is Breitling, whether it is Panerai, whether it is XYZ or Rimowa. It is a mixture of these it's not just Ethos or not only EBOs. It's a mixture of multi-brand and exclusive brand outlets. Next question is on the question of elections. Every time there are elections, the 2 months that lead up to the election are a little bit subdued, and we see great numbers in the months after it. This is because of typically a couple of things. Number one is the model code of conduct, which comes into place, which restricts the movement of cash. We are allowed to sell watches in cash up to 1,99,000, but the movement of cash above 50,000 greatly restricts that sale. Secondly, we can't do events because there are a lot of restrictions around what events are possible. The service of any beverage, alcoholic beverages, etc., nothing is allowed, so events also slow down during this period. However, it is always followed in the next few months with a great boom in it. That's why I said that the following three quarters might be better than the first quarter, but I must say April has gone well. We are doing well in May, and things are going to be exciting in the year ahead.
Okay, sir, thank you. I just have another two more questions. I'm just going to squeeze in very quickly. One is regarding the volume growth. You mentioned that we have around 19% volume growth for the full year, and we have also seen that the average selling price has increased by 19%. So this ASP is on account of, you know, since we exited the under 1 lakh watches, is it because of that? That's my first question. And the second question was, you mentioned in the opening remarks that the 22% VAT we have on the taxes, is it going to be like, it's going to be reduced on like on a 7-year period? And in H2, we're going to see at least 3% decrease in this. Did I hear this right?
The first question was with average selling prices. Yes, it's going, the quantities should be looked at above 1 lakh rupees because we are exiting the price point below 50,000 we are exiting, and every time the picture that if you look at only the numbers that are given in volumes without looking at understanding it, it seems as if volumes are dropping. Volumes are not dropping, volumes are continuing to grow. We are just exiting the price point below 1 lakh or below 50,000 rupees. Your next question was average on duty reduction. Duty reduction requires two logistical steps that need to be taken. It is a matter of time, in our opinion. We expect that the Swiss approval, the Swiss paperwork will be completed in the second half of the year, and with that will be the first cut in duty, which is 20% plus cess will be reduced to 0%, so 3-point-something% every year will be the reduction, which we hope, which we expect should start in the second half of the financial year.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for answering all my questions, and wish you all the best for the next year.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Sharma from SP Capital. Please go ahead.
So I wanted to ask on the new store. So what's the payment period for the new stores, if you could just elaborate?
Sorry, I can't. You need to speak a little bit more into the I can't hear what you said.
Mr. Kunal, can you please come near to the mic and speak, please?
Yeah. I hope I'm audible now.
Yes. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask about the new store. Say, what is the payback period for the new store?
Payback period for different stores differ greatly depending upon which format. But as I mentioned, that we target a 20% return on capital in the first year itself, and obviously it will grow in the years to come. That is our target with every store opening. It is a form and a process which we follow when we are making our decision-making on these stores. And largely we have seen that in the last year, these stores have been giving close to that mark, not 20%, but close to that mark in the first year itself, and it always increases in the next year.
Okay, so is it for the both, metro and non-metro?
Yes, both.
Okay. And recently you guided that you just elaborate on the recent event on the election side. So can we expect the quarter one could be a normalized or like subdued numbers during the quarter? Because of
It might be. So let me explain this again, and, you know, for the benefit of everyone, due to the elections, there is a model code of conduct which subdues the first 2 months. We expect April and May to be subdued, but June will be a big month. It might be a slightly subdued one, but we don't expect any effect on the long-term performance of the year.
Okay. And then lastly, on the optionality business, if you could just, you have elaborated about the ETHOS and the MOVA, but if you could just share your thoughts on the Messica as well. So how it is performing?
Sorry, I just want to reiterate this so that it's clearly understood. Even if there is any, we've already seen April was a success for us. It doesn't mean that it is going to be a subdued quarter. We just expect greater growth in the coming quarters, and everything is going as per our expectations in this quarter. I don't want to say that quarter one will be subdued. I just feel that after the elections, growth will be even better.
Okay, that's great. And lastly, on the Messica, if you could just share some thoughts on the same.
So Messica, we are till now we were looking at, we had done a pilot project right now till now, which was inside our store at SMJD, which is Jio World Drive in Mumbai. That was a success. Now we want to shift to a full-fledged boutique, which will act as a flagship boutique. We are very confident that we should be able to find it this year and hopefully launch one by the end of the year, which will be a dedicated boutique and the first boutique for Messica in the country. We want to go ahead with international branded jewelry. We believe this will be big, but we want to take slow and steady measures. We want to start the first boutique, make it a success, as we have done in Rimowa, and then expand on that.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay Kumar Surya from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Are
you
audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so my question is, can you provide the breakup between, like, top three stores would be contributing how much of our revenue? And, sir, another question on the average selling price, sir, across tier 3 cities and Tier 1 cities, how much difference would that be in the average selling price of the watches? If any guidance on that?
I'm not sure we are revealing this data on the first three stores in terms of percentage. At this point of time, we haven't sent this out for competitive reasons. We prefer not to give this out right now. In terms of Tier 2 and Tier 1 cities, we see a price difference typically of about 20% to 25% on like-to-like stores.
Got it.
I mean, if the brand mix is the same.
Got it. So next question, sir, again, clarification on the Silver City transaction. Sir, because now...
We need to restrict it to two questions. I don't have more clarification. Just go back to the answer that I had given. And you, that is my comment that Ethos will focus on Indian retail. Ethos doesn't have the manufacturing know-how. It requires manufacturing commitment and investments. That is not possible to do only by a retail company. Ethos will focus on retail in India, and to grow from 30% in exclusive brands to 50%, we prefer to take instead of starting another 30 brands, we want to focus on one brand and make sure it reaches critical mass with a significant stakeholder in the company.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Mistry from Moonshoot Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, Pranav. And thanks for being the first category creator doing this in India. So we try to take some longer view of what we're trying to do. And I want to ask you that a lot of luxury brands are coming to India and you have done really good innovation work just to start Remova right on time and Masika. Do you think that are you firing innovation engine of putting different boutiques or different price points to cater to Indian consumer? Are we trying to give ourselves room to just fail in one or two kind of boutiques and one or two kind of formats? Are we trying to just put that innovation engine right on track? How do you see this company to be shaping after maybe 3-4 years? And if we get this innovation right, can we see a big thing coming out of here?
I'm not sure I fully understand your question, but is your question that why are we setting up different boutiques for different brands rather than...
Sorry for interruption. I'm just trying to ask that are we good enough with just two brands to go forward after maybe 3-4 years? Can we do further brands to take to India and make sure that our trajectory and growth remains right enough?
I would like to just focus on one key signal that I would like to give is that we moved our best person in the company, the chief operating officer, Mr. Manoj Subramaniam, is now heading this vertical. The reason for this is that we believe that it will open doors that are incredible and this business can be extremely large in the future. So, yes, we want to bring on more brands. We will bring on brands. Getting brands takes time, but then the brands stay for many, many decades with us. We are now, and as I said in my speech as well, one of the biggest brands in the world, which does more than $700-800 million turnover globally. They are in discussion to bring them into India exclusively with us. So, yes, we do expect many, many more brands to come in the future. It will be slow and steady. We are not going to be restricted to two brands.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pallavi from Sameeksha. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. So it was on, what is the volumes we are looking at for Favre Luba? I think you had earlier mentioned 3,000 in the first year and 10,000 in the next year. So would that be only India sales or those would be global sales? And then how would, KDDL be able to manage sales globally?
Let me explain this. Yes, 3,000 watches is globally. It's about 2,500 watches. Manufacturing, it depends, 10,000 depends upon manufacturing ability. The first thing is, global distribution will take place through the Silver City company. Silver City is an independent company that will be owned both jointly by KDDL and Ethos. Silver City will do the Silver City, that is headed by Mr. Patrick Hoffman, who was the CEO of Unistarna, has set up an international distribution very, very successfully, is the person who is going to be leading that distribution globally. The manufacturing will be done with the help of KDDL. That requires investments. The investment is not possible to outsource that investment. Therefore, it is therefore the only way to do that was through the KDDL tie-up. Ethos will focus upon the India sales.
What is the volume we are targeting for India? And that's it.
Well, India will be buying roughly 2,000 watches in the 2,000 or 1,800 to 2,000 watches in the first year. We don't know exactly for the second year. I don't have the numbers in front of me, so we can circle back to that later.
Right, sir. And the total capex, if you could give for next year.
For which company?
For Ethos.
We don't have that guidance available right now. We'll have to come back to that.
Right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Devanshu Gulati from Avid Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, congratulations on a great quarter. I have two questions. The first one is, what is the percentage of your second movement business, the pre-owned watch business, revenue as part of the total revenue mix? And the second question that I had is, how long are these partnerships typically with the exclusive brands? Obviously, it will be different for different brands, but if you can just give a general duration for these partnerships.
The 5 years with an auto-renewal, we don't sign on now anything under 5 years without an auto-renewal of another 5 years or another 4 years, right? So that means that if the numbers are achieved for 5 years, then there will be an auto-renewal for another 4 years.
Okay. And what about the second movement business, the pre-owned watch business? How much is that?
66 crores for the previous financial year.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, we will take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I hope that we were able to answer all your questions satisfactorily. If you need any further clarification or want to know more about the company, please contact the SGA team, our investor relationship advisor. Thank you for attending this call, and I wish you all a good evening.
On behalf of Ethos Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.